This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Robert Rector. He's a senior fellow in domestic policy at the Heritage Foundation. He and many other scholars looked at the surprising new numbers released by the Census Bureau last week, showing one of the largest jumps on record in poverty in our nation's history. But while members of different political parties point the finger of blame as to why this number is on the rise, whether it's the current administration, the previous administration, or something else, Mr. Rector says there's a clear deciding factor as to whether or not someone's likely to be in poverty, and very few here in Washington are addressing it. And Mr. Rector, it's great to have you with us. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
You say that the reason for the major difference as to whether someone's likely to be living in poverty or not is unwed childbearing. Explain why that's the case.
The numbers went up this year because we had an increase in unemployment, people lose their jobs, and so about 4 million additional people were thrown into poverty. But the story I'm looking at is that even in the best of economic times, we have over 38 million people in poverty. We could kind of call that structural poverty. The question would be, why are these people poor? In particular, why are children poor? And the reality is that in our society, in good times or bad economics times, a single mother is about five or six times more likely to be poor than is a married couple family with children. Even if you compare the single mother to married couples with exactly the same level of education, you still get that ratio 6 to 1. Over 70% of all poor families with children in any given year are single-parent families. Why do we have so many single-parent families? Well, when the war on poverty started back in the 1960s, 95% of all children that were born to married couples. Today, that number has dropped to around 60%, and all of these out-of-wedlock births, over a third of all births, mainly occur to women who have the least capacity to go it alone. If you have a college education, virtually all children born to women with college education are born to married couples. However, when you look at children born to women that are high school graduates or high school dropouts, close to half of them or more are born to women that are not married. And so our society is basically splitting into two halves, an upper middle class where children are raised by married couples with a college education, and a bottom where children are raised by poorly educated mothers who are going it alone and don't have a husband in the home.
You make the point in a piece that you wrote for National Review Online, their corner post, that if the women were to marry the men that made them pregnant, the father of their children, that about two-thirds of them would be immediately lifted from poverty. Explain how that stability would be so instantaneous.
There's a myth about these fathers in the policy community among liberals. Well, they don't have jobs, they're non-marriageable. So now, bear in mind, this is 40% of all men in the United States, these unwed fathers. But the reality is that almost all these fathers have jobs. They make more income than the mothers do. And we have data collected by Columbia University and Princeton that actually measures the mother's income and the father's income at the time this unwed birth occurs. And looking at the father's income, we can say, well, gosh, if he married and that income was available to the mom and the child, poverty would be cut dramatically. But if the mom has to go it alone or just be on welfare, over half of those mothers are going to be poor, and they're going to stay poor for another 5 years. The reality is that we've dismissed marriage as being it's not important in low-income communities, but in fact it's the number one weapon we have against poverty. In fact, if you're going to predict whether someone is poor, the strongest factor to determine whether someone is going to be poor or a child is going to be poor is whether they are born outside of marriage. That's a stronger factor than even the mother's education level. In fact, if you wanted to stop poverty, one thing you could do would be to try to get everybody to graduate from high school, but even more important than that would be to try to ensure that to the maximum extent possible, children were born inside stable marriages. Now, the real tragedy is that while we tell young people from a very early age, oh, you don't want to drop out of high school, that's very harmful to your future, but in fact, the lack of marriage is even worse in terms of reducing poverty, but nowhere in the United States, in any low-income community, do we ever say to young people, by the way, if you want your child to prosper in the society, if you want to escape poverty as a parent, the single most important thing you can do is be married before you bring children into the world. We don't tell anyone that. And ironically, the goals of most of these low-income mothers include that they want to be married at some time, but they now have this bizarre pattern that they go through that they deliberately have children, and then they look around to see if they can find a suitable husband. That pattern of child first, husband later is an absolute disaster, and we owe it to them to tell them the truth about it.
You explained just now what needs to be kind of burnished into their brains, just like the importance of finishing high school and even more so being married before you have children. What can the government specifically do? Is it simply just that, having prominent people giving that message over and over and over again, or is there something more tangible they can do?
You could do more than that. The welfare system actually penalizes these couples and takes away a lot of welfare if the mother does get married, and we should try to reduce that anti-marriage penalty. But the most important thing is, if we recognize as a society, and if we're honest, we do, that having a child without being married is harmful, that having a married husband in the home is very good for the child, not only economically, but developmentally, then the first and foremost thing we ought to do is say to these young adults, hey, marriage is important. But we don't do that because of political correctness. It's not politically correct to say that marriage is a good thing. And so we kind of leave them in this vacuum where they're never told about the number one step for getting out of poverty in the United States. I would say, yes, go into the high schools, teach them this, do public service announcements on the radio. In every birth control center, these women that have children out of wedlock almost all receive free birth control through government birth control clinics, but all those clinics do is say, hey, here's your birth control, go out, party hard, we'll see you back in a little while to either have an abortion or to have a child born and funded by the Medicaid system. We should say, we should give them information on how to escape poverty when they go to those clinics. If they're interested, we should refer them to programs that would teach them how to meet their life goals. Most of these women have very traditional life goals. They are young adult women. They want to have to live in the suburbs. They want to have a house, a husband, a minivan, two kids, and a dog. But the choices that they're going to make about having children without being married basically make that dream impossible to come by. We should give them factual information that would enable them to carry out their own dreams and to avoid self-destructive decisions that are going to trap themselves and their children in poverty and leave the father basically empty, because he's not going to see that child after a couple years. The relationship will fall apart. He may be stuck with a little bit of child support and a pretty empty life. What we're doing today, 40% of children born out of wedlock, that's a disaster for everybody, mom, dad, child, and the taxpayer. We need to stop it. We need to come up with a better way.
And as you just mentioned, the taxpayer as well, Mr. Rector pointing out in his most recent post on National Review Online that it's about $1 trillion a year now to cover food, housing, medical care, and so forth for the poor, many of whom are coming out of this situation with single moms having kids now, 4 out of every 10 children born in this country. Mr. Rector, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Robert Rector is a senior fellow in domestic policy at the Heritage Foundation. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.